RadioStPete.com presents Job Talk with Dean Logan. Job Talk with Dean Logan is presented in part by Eagle Datagistics. Eagle Datagistics is one of the premier Oracle Gold partners on the East Coast. Eagle Datagistics, providing hardware and software sales, data recovery, DBA services, and recruiting. With more than 10 years in business, in downtown St. Petersburg, it's Eagle Datagistics. Now, let's go live to our studio on the 10th floor of the Plaza Tower in downtown St. Petersburg, the offices of Eagle Datagistics. Now, with Job Talk, here's Dean Logan.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Job Talk, the only radio program in Tampa Bay dedicated to talking about jobs. I'm your host, Dean Logan, and for those of you tuning into Job Talk for the first time, you will learn that it is my goal to talk with the leaders of every employer I can in Tampa Bay, big and small, and in every possible industry, so that anyone who is considering moving their business or making a change in their employment will know what it's like to live, work, and play in Tampa Bay. All of my guests are making a positive difference in the community, and listening to Job Talk is a way to get to know them a little better. And in the process, I get to meet and talk with some very interesting people. Today is a very special day, as it is the beginning of the third anniversary of this radio station, and I'm so happy to welcome the founder of RadioStPete.com, Joe Bordeaux. Welcome, Joe.
Thank you, Dean. It is great to be here. I hear you describe this view every week, and it is spectacular overlooking Tampa Bay from the 10th floor of this office building.
It sure is beautiful. And congratulations on the third anniversary.
Well, we made it.
Yeah.
So that's good.
And it's come a long way over the past three years. And I like to spend the majority of our time together today talking about RadioStPete.com, if that's okay with you. Mm-hmm. And tell us, how did it all start?
Well, back in the 1970s, after 4 years at the University of Virginia in Charlottesville, where I had a job working for the local radio station WCHV, and also was the either president or the program director or something of the college radio station, WTJU. Then I moved over to Stanton, Virginia for 5 years, where I worked in radio and was the morning announcer at WTON in Stanton, and did Valley League baseball and very much involved in the community. And back in those days, commercial radio stations under their FCC license really had to get deep down and serve the community. You had to have a certain amount of news and public affairs programs, and we felt that serving the community was good business. And then, you know, over the years, radio broadcasting was deregulated. Instead of being owned by local people and local towns, the majority of radio stations were owned by large companies, and that's the way it is today. They were no longer required to get as deep into the community as we did back in the 70s. And so, over the period of the 80s, I owned a couple of radio stations in Georgia where we also got very active in the community. And so when I retired a few years ago, on my list of things, particularly as I saw the internet streaming radio business begin to grow, I just said, what we need is a Radio St. Pete. You know, kind of, and without any particular idea on how I was going to do it, but that was something I thought we needed, was a local kind of radio voice that could really become hyper-local and can really go deep, you know, into, a portion of the Tampa Bay area. And so that's what we did, and I figured out how to technically get it all hooked up and on the air, and 2 years ago today we started.
That's wonderful. And how did you actually start it? Did you have a consultant work with you or anything? You did it all on your own?
Well, really? Luckily, I had a couple of previous recent experiences. Since I retired, I have been involved in baseball play-by-play broadcasting, and I had a couple of years of producing the radio network for the Carolina Mudcats up in outside of Raleigh, North Carolina. And then 4 or 5 years ago, I happened to be at either the right place at the right time or the wrong time at the wrong place, but I was introduced to folks who were bringing the East-West Shrine Game to St. Pete, and became a volunteer with that group. for that annual football game played in January. But in the first couple of meetings, I happened to say, I know it's on the NFL TV network. Is there radio coverage of this? And Harold Richardson, the executive director, said no. And I said, "Do you mind if I do it?" And he said, "I'd be happy for you to."
Wow, that's a great
Had to figure out how to get it on the air. Luckily, the good folks at Clear Channel, 620 WDAE, Tampa Bay Sports Radio, came forward and agreed to carry our first broadcast. But since we weren't really being heard outside the Tampa Bay area, it became important to really understand how streaming radio worked. Mm-hmm. And but, you know, the exciting part of that project, it all starts right here at Radio St. Pete. But last January, we, instead of being on, you know, the TuneIn Radio app and 620 WDAE, we were on 141 over-the-air radio stations across the country, as well as on Sirius XM's NFL Channel 88, of course, mobile and internet as well. So we are now a national radio broadcast. So for 4.5 hours a year, RadioSt.Pete.com is a fairly big-time deal across the country. And then we turn it off and go out to dinner and and say, see you next year. So we're beginning to put together the 91st annual East-West Shrine Game, which will be played January 23rd at Tropicana Field with a kickoff at 4:07. And we'll be on the air here locally in the Tampa Bay area on 620 WDAE at 3:15 Eastern, and around the country about that time as well.
Wow, that's great. Now, how did you actually come up with the name?
Well, that was kind of my working name from the beginning, was Anita Radio St. Pete. It was originally going to be St. Pete Radio, which a lot of people call it. And the problem was, when I designed the logo, it looked like St. Peter Radio. Okay. And while we're not a Christian radio station. And so I will say that if you Google St. Peter Radio or put it in the URL, you're going to get Radio St. Pete.
That's great. So I like to talk about the weekly programs unique to RadioSt.Pete.com, mm-hmm. as well as the events you cover on the station.
Yeah.
What was the first local weekly show or program on the station?
Well, I had begun attending and became a member of the Suncoast Tiger Bay Club that meets around Pinellas County once or twice a month for lunch and has interesting current affairs political speakers. And I went to a luncheon, and I realized that, you know, National Public Radio carries the National Press Club from Washington, and this is the closest thing we have to the National Press Club in St. Petersburg. And so I approached them and said, would they mind us streaming it live and then podcasting it, the recorded version, later? And they loved the idea. And, of course, now I'm on the board of the Tiger Bay Club. But that was the first program, and we continue to do those at least once a month.
And there's some upcoming events, I think, being broadcast shortly. Some
right.
interesting ones, too. The Rays owner, I think, is going to be
there. The Rays president, Brian Ault, is on in July. And, of course, we'll be soon getting into the election cycle again. So Tiger Bay will be kind of the local place where politicians come. And invitations have gone out to the national, you know, the presidential candidates as well. So we could have some interesting folks here coming to Tampa Bay because, as you know, this is ground zero in terms of Florida, you know.
That's great.
And Florida, so goes the country, as mm-hmm. they say.
And some other shows, like Homemade Broadcast with Will Coons.
Mm-hmm.
It airs Sundays at 6:15 p.m.
Yeah.
So how did that come about?
Well, Will is an interesting guy. He's a graduate of USF St. Pete. He works for a living for a local business, but he started a podcast, and that's what this Homemade Broadcast is, where he was interviewing folks he knew in the local community. Will is himself a stand-up comedian and kind of an organizer of stand-up comedy in Tampa Bay, promoter, mm-hmm. Particularly over at the Sly Bar, when they do a couple of open mic nights a month that are very popular and well-attended. And I listened to a few of the shows, and I said, you know, this would make for a really good feature because he's talking to folks who are primarily local people. They're comedians, or they're active in the arts community locally. So Will has kind of become our arts and reporter to try to talk about what's going on on Central Avenue and in the immediate downtown St. Pete area. So we've found a regular time to air that program on Sundays at 6:15.
That's great. I didn't know he was a comedian, but I can see it after talking with him. Right. That's great. And another one of the shows is the Indie Circuit with Mao.
Yeah. Well, that's another interesting one, too, because I am a fan of Heritage Village in Largo, which is a wonderful living museum where old homes in Pinellas County have been brought into one concentrated little park. Rather than torn down or destroyed, they've been moved into this park. And the Historical Society of Pinellas County is based there. And I just love the place. And I like to go once a year and to one of the events. And I was just up there walking around on a Saturday. And they have a place where they have a demonstration of blacksmiths, people making horseshoes, pounding and lighting the thing on fire. And the blacksmith says, "Joe." And it turns out that he, for a long, long time, has worked at a large local company that I was formerly president of, which we'll probably get to later in the interview. But he was a podcaster as well. A lot of people have no clue about what's happening in streaming media, streaming radio. We're not the only internet radio station in the world. There are something like 70,000.
Wow.
And then there are people who are just independent podcasters that record a show, might be an interview, might be just their comments on the world. Mm-hmm. And through smart distribution techniques, they're able to build large audiences. And Mao was a veteran. He's been overseas. He's loves independent music. And so he and his friends get together once a week and record a show that we run on Sunday night. I happen to think is very entertaining. And the music you will not hear anyplace else. So it's the Indie Circuit with Mao and his friends every Sunday at 10, all these times, of course, Eastern.
Mm-hmm. And I noticed recently Attorney Bill McQueen was on there. Is that an example of those podcasts?
That's a good example of what we're actually reaching out for, because I'm sure there are other people doing this, and as I find them, I try to reach out to them and see. Mm-hmm. Bill is a fine, longtime St. Pete guy and a state planning attorney, has a law firm, and I've been involved with him through the East West Shrine Game and some of the other community related things that I'm involved in outside of Radio St. Pete. And I happened to receive a blog on a legal issue. And I said, "Bill, would you mind recording that blog in your own voice, sending it to me, and we'll make a program out of it?" It's essentially extending what he's already doing. It only takes a short period of time to suddenly introduce it to a whole new audience.
Right. And it was very interesting subjects, I thought, too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, related to business owners. He'd probably be a good guest for this show, as a matter of fact.
We'll ask him. Okay, great. And I know that you do. You also cover grand openings and ribbon cutting ceremonies. Yeah. I think there's one coming up on August 1st at St. Pete College.
Yep. Yep. Mm-hmm. We have the capability with technology of going live from absolutely anywhere, and I can carry the entire radio station in my pocket. And a few weeks ago, I'm the chairman of the board of the Tampa Bay Clutch Hitters, and we had our annual road trip with the Rays, and we were up at Progressive Field in Cleveland, Ohio. And I'm thinking, well, why don't we broadcast from there? Mm-hmm. So we, for two nights, interviewed several of the people who had made the trip to Cleveland to watch the Rays. And we can do the same thing with ribbon cutting. So it doesn't take any equipment. It's just some digital magic, and don't need power, don't need Wi-Fi. I can basically go anywhere. So we try to cover some of the larger, grand openings and bigger events around St. Pete and the beaches.
I think there was a Courtyard Marriott opening.
Yeah, big one. Recently. Yeah, the big first new hotel in Madeira Beach, for a long, long time, and a beautiful new facility. And so we were over there, and that's an opportunity to talk with, John Morsani, the chairman of the Board of County Commissioners. Pinellas County was here, so we had a nice long talk with him on the air live. Mm-hmm. Other business people, chamber people were all on that program. I think it probably lasted about an hour, and we also had some good music being performed live out there as well.
That's great. And you've also done remotes from Tampa, mm-hmm. not just St. Pete. Yeah. And can you tell me about some of those?
Yeah, I think it's important. I decided to call it Radio St. Pete because I realized this was going to be a staff of one, for starters. And I thought it was a better idea to try to go deep than to go wide. And so let's really, really do a good hyper-local job on St. Petersburg and the Tampa Bay beaches. But that being said, obviously we have listeners throughout the Tampa Bay area, as we do throughout the world, and we are very much a part of the Tampa Bay region. So we have been to Tampa on several occasions. One annual thing is the Tampa Bay Radio Reunion, where all of the people, men and women, who have been on commercial radio in the Tampa Bay area for the last 40 years get together for a reunion once a year, and it makes for a very interesting three-hour broadcast. They do it on Radio St. Pete, so you're hearing Jack Harris and Ted Webb and folks, names you know, who are currently working in radio, pop up on Radio St. Pete once a year.
That's great. Mm-hmm. And you also do graduation ceremonies at different places throughout the city. Right. And one of them I heard, which was really excellent, was the one from Academy Prep in St. Petersburg. Right. So tell me about that school and your involvement with them.
Well, I'm the immediate past chair of the Board of Trustees at Academy Prep St. Pete. St. Pete is Academy Prep is one of two Academy Prep campuses that exist. One's over in Ybor City, and the St. Pete one is down at 22nd Avenue and 22nd Street South in St. Pete. These are absolutely remarkable schools, taking poverty kids from the inner city who typically come into Academy Prep in fifth grade behind the eight ball academically, and through a combination of rigorous education and enrichment, these kids get turned in an amazing direction. 100% of them have graduated from high school on time 4 years later, for the last 8 years, mm-hmm. which is unheard of in a community that graduates, less than 40% from high school. So it's a school that I have spent a lot of time working with. And it just has an incredible track record. In addition to enrichment and rigorous education and enrichment program, which means like everybody learns how to play chess and golf and tennis. And
I found that very interesting.
Yeah. And we have a graduate support program that finds scholarships, tries to place our eighth grade graduates into the best public private schools and the best public schools. And so, we'll have Academy Prep graduates going to Canterbury, Berkeley Prep, Shorecrest, Northside Christian, and Keswick, and even out of state, Academy Prep 8th grade graduates from South St. Pete are going to Philip Exeter Academy,
That's
amazing.
Wonderful.
Chatham Hall up in Virginia and other great schools. And then, then it's time for college, and we try to get them, match them up with scholarships for college. So it's a middle school, but it's really until we're following these kids until they're out of college and hopefully coming back to the community to contribute.
And what a foundation you're giving them.
Oh, yeah, boy. Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. Now, you also do some sports-related events. Mm-hmm. Now, coming up, I think, in July 11th is the Australian Rules Football.
Right.
Live from Dick Turner Field. Tell me about that.
Well, there's a guy locally, Dean Capone, who's born and raised in St. Pete. He has been, in the last, I guess, 12 or 14 years, a music promoter. And so he has bands and musicians, I guess, throughout the world, and he's got a catalog of music, and I don't really understand how the business works, but he's been in that music business. But he has always had interest in sports and interested in sports franchises, and there's this thing called Australian Rules Football, which is incredibly huge in Australia. If you look it up online, and you can watch these games on matches on YouTube. And, I mean, they have stadiums down there with over 100,000 people screaming wildly watching Australian rules football. Well, in the States, there is a league, and I guess it's kind of partially a feeder league for Australia. But he had the idea, why not bring this unusual sport to St. Pete? So this is a fledgling franchise that, you know, they've taken a couple of years to kind of find the players, recruit it, and get it going. They played an inter-squad game out a few weeks ago that I went over and watched with Will Coons. And I really, I would just point people back to the RadioSt.Pete.com archive, and where you can hear Dean Capone explain the game, because it's it's a lot of fun. It's kind of kicking, throwing, bouncing. The football looks like an American football, but it's sort of kind of like soccer, rugby, and but it's not. So they're going to play a regular season starting next year, and somehow we're going to try to provide play-by-play of the St. Pete Starfish, it's called.
All right. And we would be that announcer?
No.
No?
No.
Okay.
No. But Dean understands the game, and we'll see how it goes. But they're going to play against Fort Lauderdale, the team in this Australian rules football thing. And on July 11th, I think it's at 7, and Dick Turner Field is within a stone's throw of Tropicana Field. It's right just to the south of it.
Oh, great. Now tell me about the Canadian baseball.
Yeah,
that's a pretty big spring event.
Yeah, that's been an interesting relationship, you know, as well. I guess I'm losing track of time. 5 or 6 years ago, Mayor Foster, the previous mayor of St. Pete, started something called the Sports Alliance, and it was a group of former professional athletes and business people, you know, with the purpose of trying to bring new local sport events to St. Pete. And the East-West Shrine Game came out of that effort. And also international baseball. Everybody, I think, is aware that St. Pete and Tampa Bay is the birthplace of spring training a little over 100 years ago. And since the Rays moved to Port Charlotte in 2008 or so, we didn't have spring training in St. Pete anymore. So the goal was to try to bring professional baseball to St. Pete. So the city has built a relationship with the Canadian Junior National Team, which is a tremendous Canadian baseball program that graduates high school guys into the major league draft. And there's Brett Laurie is in the major leagues, and a bunch of other guys are graduates of that program. So for the last several years, the Canadian Junior National Team has come here to play their spring training series, and they play it against pro ball players from the major league teams, mostly short season, single A, and occasionally double A players, who are professional ball players in the minor league organizations. Mm-hmm. And so it's high school guys playing pros, and then one game out of the series, the high school guys play the opening day starting lineup, essentially the Toronto Blue Jays. So it's a real interesting game, and obviously very exciting for the kids, and they usually play them pretty close in mid-March. So for some time, the years, the games were played at Al Lang Field. That's now the home of the Tampa Bay Rowdies, and so we're playing over at the Walter Fuller Complex in West St. Pete. And the mayor is hoping to build a little a ball field there with grandstands in the not-too-distant future as well. We also had this year playing in that series was a team sponsored by Major League Baseball from Puerto Rico. And so we had guys in MLB uniforms there. We had the head of international baseball from MLB down with us for that series. And we hope that St. Pete will eventually become the home of a major league showcase for players in Latin America, which could be a huge tourism boom to the area.
Great. Now, another one of the shows that you have on RadioSt.Pete.com is there's film reviews with Washington D.C. film critic Charlie Jewell.
Mm-hmm.
So, how did you get him?
Well, he's my son-in-law.
Oh, okay.
So that's, and that was another case where Charlie Jewell is a works for the federal government. He is a intelligence analyst, I believe is his title. He served his country in Afghanistan and Iraq multiple tours. He was a Bronze Star winner. We don't talk about that on his movie reviews. His hobby was his movies. And before Radio St. Pete ever started, he already had his website and his blog, charliejewell.com. And was regularly, you know, you have to qualify to have a certain number of readers to be part of the Film Critics Association in the Washington, D.C. area, and he qualified for that, and that allows him to see the previews of all the motion pictures coming. And so he publishes a blog, has a lot of readers on charliejewell.com, and one time we were visiting, and I said, why don't you try reading your reviews? And he had no experience in radio, but, you know, week to week, it got better and better. And so a great example of what can happen is last weekend, he did a review for TED 2, which he didn't like much as a reviewer. He gave it, I think, 1.5 out of 4 stars. But it was so good that it got picked up by audioboom.com, which is one of the major aggregators of podcasts in the world. And so this little review that was running on RadioSt.Pete.com suddenly has thousands of downloads. I haven't looked in the last couple of days, but he is now a radio reviewer. I think I'd love to see him pop up on National Public Radio at some point.
And it's really interesting. If he has no experience, he's got a great voice, and he really presents it well.
Very funny. Yeah. So he's essentially, you can read him at charliejewell.com, or you can hear him on weekends here. And, of course, these live shows that you're talking about, we record, and then we put them in the RadioSt.Pete.com archive, and then we distribute them to all of our followers on Twitter and Facebook and through other social media channels. And so they have a life, that goes on forever because, 3 years from now, if you Google TED 2 review, you're going to get that review and be able to hear it.
And tell me, what's been the biggest difference in social media for you?
Well, one was to be able to really do it. And, it's one thing to hear about it and read about it. And, Facebook is fine when you're seeing, people's birthday parties and stuff like that. But to actually use it to try to accomplish something requires a little bit of, experience, people, advisors, people to help you. And but quite frankly, Twitter and Facebook, to a lesser extent, have been the source of all or most of the local audience that we've been able to build up, for Radio St. Pete.
And tell me about Internet Radio Rewind with Brad Hill. I think that's a pretty good example of, the incredible growth of streaming media.
Yeah. There's a Rain News, R-A-I-N News, covers, I guess it's a blog, if you will, that covers the entire worldwide streaming media business. So this includes not only internet radio stations, but also music. So, Apple Beats Music debuted yesterday, another new way to get music on your phone or mobile device. Stuff is happening. It's an industry that is, with Pandora and all of these other ways you can hear music. It's a business, and millions of dollars are being invested in trying to make it into a business. And so Rain News is the outfit that tries to cover that, from a journalistic standpoint. And so I started to read the website and the blog to try to understand how we might make this better, and in the process discovered they had a podcast. And so I called Brad Hill. Interestingly enough, Brad lives in Durham, North Carolina. He's the editor of this whole thing. He actually listened to Patrick Keenis do the Durham Bulls baseball games. Patrick's the voice of the East-West Shrine Game. Uh-huh. So this all ties together.
Right.
And I said, do you mind if I carry radio internet news? So under the theory that anyone listening to Radio St. Pete must have some interest in internet radio. And so every weekend, usually on Saturday, you'll hear radio internet news with Brad, and it describes all of the announcements that have made in the previous week, mergers, acquisitions, those kinds of things.
Interesting. Yeah. So I want to just talk a couple more about a couple more of your shows. One of them is Maura Sweeney's Maura for You.
Yeah.
Where did that come from?
Well, Maura came to a Sports Alliance meeting. She has an interesting history, including radio, and her husband's involved as well in has a whole history. She'd make a great guest.
Okay.
Put her down, too.
Definitely.
She was a podcaster. And she has a concept called happiness from the inside out. And I call her kind of a philosopher. So we decided to, most people have the most trouble on Monday every week. So we have like Maura for Monday.
Okay.
So 5 or 6 times a day, Maura Sweeney. Lives in St. Pete, Tampa Bay area, is on there with her podcast, Maura for You, Happiness from the Inside Out. So she talks about a philosophical thing of life, sometimes has guests that she interviews in turn, and she has a very successful website podcast, and she is a contributor to, I'm proud to say, not only RadioSt.Pete.com, but the Huffington Post.
Oh.
So she is... definitely for real. But that's who Maura is.
And I noticed Wayne Hogan does something on the Bolts. Is that new?
No, that's not a regular feature yet, but he's a fascinating guy. He had a long career at both Florida State in the athletic department and then at Georgia Tech, more than 30-some years. And he was actually once the interim athletic director at FSU. So he's a big-time college sports guy, has relocated to the Madeira Beach area, and he for a long time was the color guy on with Gene Deckerhoff on FSU basketball. So he did that for 13 or 14 years. He's a broadcaster. Robin Sully, who's the president and CEO of the Tampa Bay Beaches Chamber of Commerce, said, "This is a guy you need to meet." Okay, so we had lunch, and he has a blog. And it is, I'm embarrassed. I'm going to forget the website. We should mention it, and we will another time. But he writes about life and sports and things, and is a great broadcaster, if you heard any of the pieces he sent. And so he quietly is called Quietly Making Noise is his theme. So you will hear Wayne Hogan pop up whenever he feels like it on RadioSt.Pete.com.
Great. Now, some of the other live broadcasts that you've done, I know you've done a couple or three fundraisers for the St. Pete Free Clinic.
Right.
Tell me about that organization.
Yeah, that's a terrific one. My wife is a former board member and is a regular volunteer at the St. Pete Free Clinic that has not only a free medical clinic that serves hundreds and probably thousands of people in the community, but also a food bank. It is the major kind of control point for South Pinellas County for food. There's a women's and men's residence, and there's a family residence, and a great local charity. Where we are able to do it, RadioSt.Pete.com will carry programs that are hopefully going to be interesting to listeners. And they have an annual fundraiser in September called Soups On, where 800 or 900 people meet at the Coliseum in St. Pete for a kind of a traditional fundraiser. But instead of fancy food, it's a bowl of soup and a piece of bread.
Perfect.
Yeah.
So, and I, of course, want to thank you for allowing me to do this program.
Yeah, right. And that was you approached me.
Yeah.
So all these things come
different ways.
Different ways, yeah. But... I had done some business with Eagle Data Logistics in the past. They sponsored the East West Shrine Game in our baseball series, so I knew Chuck here, and we got connected. And really, you guys stepped up and built this beautiful little studio here overlooking Tampa Bay, which gives us a. I operate from North Reddington Beach.
Yeah.
And but we do have a downtown St. Pete studio, and this is it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And Are there any other shows in production that you can talk about?
Well, we've got a really. I just met with a gentleman by the name of Toriano Parker in South St. Pete today. He is a community leader, activist in South St. Pete, an area of St. Pete that a lot of people, including the mayor, is focused on now, trying to kind of bring it up to a higher economic standard and provide greater opportunity for the people there. Of course, Academy Prep is located down in South St. Pete. So we're trying to put together a way to provide some focus through live broadcasting and podcasting to that area. And so I think you can expect in the next few weeks to hear more about that. So that's another example of trying to get really close to the community.
Right. And Toriano and Vitros were guests. Yep. Deuces Live is their organization.
Yep, exactly.
So they can see that podcast, too, if they want to in the archive section.
Yeah.
And, so, Joe, with all said and done, is anyone listening to this?
Well, that's interesting. For a while, no. However, it's one of these things that everybody said it just takes time. I mean, everybody who's ever done this. Mm-hmm. And the good thing about internet radio as compared to over-the-air radio is how many people are listening and where they're listening from. Mm-hmm. And that is a real kind of breakthrough for broadcasting. For example, every January we're sitting over in the Rays radio booth at the Trop, and we're on 141 radio stations, including some big ones in major markets. We're on Sirius XM. But if you ask me how many people are listening, I have no way to know. I know it's a lot. If you're on the flagship station of the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim,
right. You
got some listeners, tuning in. Or on 620 WDAE has good ratings here in the Tampa Bay area for sports radio stations. So, but with internet, So the interesting piece of this is that through social media, through making sure that RadioSt.Pete.com can be heard in every internet radio directory that I are able to find, and that we're on mobile devices with not only our own apps, but also on a number of other apps like TuneIn, which is the world's best, I think, largest internet radio app. We have been able to build up an audience. Now, it is somewhat like the Voice of America because we have been heard in 186 countries, which is a kind of a staggering number.
Mm-hmm.
Now, predominantly, it's six. Okay, so the United States is clearly number one. Number two is Canada. We have a big audience in Germany, which I believe is a result of service people serving in the armed services from the Tampa Bay or even St. Pete area that like to feel like it's home.
Right.
And they want to know what's going on at Straw Park this week. They're going to hear it on Radio St. Pete. Big audience in Germany. Brazil, for some reason, I haven't figured out. It may be just it's a big country with a lot of people. but in total, since we turned this on, there have been just under 57,000 listeners and, listening for many, many, many hours. Now, in St. Pete and Pinellas County, there are about 8,000 folks that tune in to Radio St. Pete on some kind of regular basis. And this is to the live stream, to the live broadcast. They tune in and stay tuned in longer than the worldwide listeners because it's relevant, I guess. And the good news is if you look at the trend lines on all this, at least for us, is that, in the last 2 months, for example, we've drawn an audience three times as big as the trailing 24 months, so it's growing.
Oh, that's great.
And becoming, more and more relevant. But then there's the whole podcasting side, too, is all of the content, again, as we mentioned earlier, is aggregated into our archive. It's on audioboom.com, and then it's also distributed out, through Google and every place else. So programs are done once live, but then they're found by folks who have an interest in whatever the topic, was.
Including this show,
very much so. Your big audience for this show is not happening right at this minute. It will happen over the next, maybe not from me being a guest, but the usual guests you have who all have, are have a following. Mm-hmm. Obviously, too, when you have a guest, oftentimes if it's a larger corporation, particularly, you know, they're going to have a social media program and they will distribute it to their audience as well. So that's how it works these days.
Yeah. My guest today is Joe Bordeaux, founder of this radio station, RadioSaintPete.com. And Joe, I know you feature local musicians regularly here, and I understand you're also working with Music Tampa Bay, who also promotes local musicians all the time on MusicTampaBay.com. So tell us about the new nonprofit FM radio station you're launching this fall.
Well, there's a fellow by the name of Rick Crandall, who back in the day, back in the 60s and 70s, was a rock and roll disc jockey here in Tampa Bay, at the old WLCY, which was the old number one top 40 radio station in St. Petersburg, back in the days of top 40 AM radio. Rick Crandall was also involved in, if anybody saw the movie Pirate Radio, he was a pirate and was a broadcaster over in Europe. Okay. Anyway, he continued to work in radio and later in television here in the Tampa Bay area, retired. But he, as you know, the kind of the industry changed, he became frustrated in that local musicians who are in bands that are often very, very talented don't get played on the radio. And so I think his son or grandson helped him build a website 13, 14 years ago, musictampabay.com. And over the past 13 or 14 years, it has been the place where you can hear the best of local singers and bands that operate here in the Tampa Bay area. And I had lunch with Rick and his wife Joy and found out what they were doing. And back even before I knew about the FM station, I started to listen to Music Tampa Bay, and I said, well, would it be okay if we featured some of the bands in the evening on Radio St. Pete? And so every night, six nights a week from 7 until 10, we're playing nothing but local Tampa Bay music. And those who like it hopefully are clicking over to musictampabay.com to hear it the rest of the time. Mm-hmm. Rick, trying to reach out and do new things, found out that he could apply for what's called a low-power FM radio station, and successfully applied and was granted a construction permit by the Federal Communications Commission. He's put together a board of directors, formed a 501c3 nonprofit to operate this. The mission will be to provide a place for local musicians to perform, also music education and also broadcast education. So it's going to be the station's in the process of being constructed. It should be on the air within weeks, and it will be heard in the immediate downtown St. Pete area on FM.
And what are the call letters?
It will be Music Tampa Bay, WMTB FM LP, and I always forget the frequency.
It's 96.7.
Okay, 96.7 will be where it will be. It will operate kind of in a test mode for some time, and then I would guess in the fall there will be a kind of a major launch.
That sounds great.
And again, I'm on the board of that as well, and mm-hmm. we're going to be providing some content from Radio St. Pete over to the new FM.
Wow, that sounds great. Now, this kind of brings us to the interview tip of the week segment. If somebody was to apply for a job at any of the companies or radio stations you've ever worked with or managed or affiliated with, what one piece of advice would you give them?
Well, I have had an opportunity not only to hire people, and I guess I can divulge the fact I was a longtime president of Valpak, based here in St. Petersburg, the national direct mail digital advertising company. And today I'm also a franchise consultant, so I work with, I think, seven different companies as a consultant in franchising. So I'm still close to this whole recruiting and hiring. But in the people I talk to and your guests, there seems to be a sameness in answer to this, and that is there's no excuse anymore when you go in for a job interview not to be fully briefed on the company that you're going to interview with. Mm-hmm. It used to be hard to find the information. Mm-hmm. Now anybody in 30 minutes or an hour can, if it's any size company at all, fully research not only the company, its mission, what it does, and also the identity of the founder or the identity of the senior management team or the people that they're going to interview with. So mm-hmm. I would always expect to have somebody coming in to interview asking a lot of questions about me, and also to end the interview with a feeling that this person really wants this job and why. Mm-hmm. Not just a job to make money, but that they have some passion or some interest in what your company does, and they'd like to be a part of that team and that culture. So I think it really comes down to it is like everything else, preparation.
Okay. Well, that's good advice. And just a couple more questions. We're mm-hmm. running out of time. It's been gone by so fast. So if somebody wants to promote their local event or nonprofit organization, is there a charge for that if they do it here?
No. The content of this, just so you can kind of understand the model, is we don't spend much money doing it. the content is music, and it's also local of event coverage, you know, the calendar items you hear every day, live coverage of local events and interviews and features, you know, like this. We make an effort to research and find what events are going on in the area, try to reach out to the organizations if we can. But we'd sure love to have more of it coming, you know, the other way. And any nonprofit organization, you know, we've talked about Academy Prep and the free clinic, but, you know, there are hundreds in the area, should feel free to, as they're having events or would like to be interviewed or like to somehow publicize their nonprofit organization, to just send an email to info@radiosaintpete.com. And if they have public service announcements they'd like to send, just send the copy to that address. Mm-hmm. We'll put the on for free. If they'd like to voice those messages themselves, they simply need to, you can record it on any phone and email the MP3 file to info@radiosaintpete.com. So we're easy to reach. And also, please follow Radio St. Pete on Twitter and on Facebook, because that's where we talk about, you know, if we're going to go live from somewhere in St. Pete, that's, you know, minutes before we go on, there's a Twitter thing, and you can link to us right from there.
That's great. Yeah. And if someone wants to sponsor or advertise on a particular program, are you open to that too?
Yeah, we're really getting to the point where we have enough critical mass of listeners. You know, I used to say that to have a cost per thousand, you need 1,000, and we're more than there. And so, you know, with the podcast and everything else, again, just reach out to info or Joe Bordeaux, B-O-U-R-D-O-W @radiosaintpete.com, or if it's easier to remember, info@radiosaintpete, it all comes to me.
So that's great, Joe. So I want to thank you so much for being here today. And I think we should do it every July 1st.
Okay, every anniversary.
Exactly.
Okay.
So look forward to that. Great. And thanks again, Joe. Appreciate it
Thanks for setting this up down here. It's a great spot.
Appreciate it. So that was Joe Bordeaux, the founder of this radio station, RadioSaintPete.com. And now it's time for Job Talk Alumni Update. Up first, I want to mention about David Puckett, the CEO of Resolve Now, did a great presentation at 1 Million Cups this past week. So if you're an investor looking for a great company to invest in, check out his website at Resolve Now. That's resolvnow.com. And if you haven't been to a 1 Million Cups meeting, they take place in over 50 cities worldwide at 9 to 10 a.m. local time. And their website is 1 Million Cups, the number 1MillionCups.com. And they have a location downtown St. Petersburg, so check out the website for the address and for more information. And also the sponsor of this program, Eagle Datagistics, is looking for candidates with advanced Oracle, DBA, and developer skills. You can send your resumes to me at deanlogan@radiosaintpete.com, and I'll be sure to get your resume to the right people. And the shout-outs today go to LW in Michigan. I haven't forgotten about you, and I'll be in touch very soon. And to Captain Jill. Feel better and hope you get back on the water soon. Also, if you enjoy listening to this program, please tell your friends to check out the website, RadioSaintPete.com. It's there you can find previous shows that are archived, and you can see who will be the upcoming guests on Job Talk 2. In addition to the great music feature here by local artists, you'll find many more interesting shows as we discussed today. And if you have any comments or suggestions for a future guest on Job Talk, you can send those suggestions to me at deanlogan@radiosaintpete.com. I really do look forward to the comments and suggestions. You can download the free app and listen anywhere you take your phone, tablet, or computer. So check it out. That's radiostpete.com. Next week's guest is Mark Guthrie, founder of Create 3D. It should be interesting learning about the 3D printing industry. It'll be a busy day for Mark as he's also presenting at 1 Million Cups earlier in the day. And if you can attend the presentations from 9 to 10 local time, you'll definitely enjoy the experience. I want to take this time to thank Joe, Chuck, Richard, Harry, my engineers Dan and Sean, and all the Eagles for their help. And as always, I want to end Job Talk with this final thought and say to everyone listening, if you're thinking about relocating your family or business and are looking for a great place to live, work, and play, you should come visit and take a look at all St. Pete and Tampa Bay has to offer. I'm glad I did. I think you'll be glad you did, too. So thanks for listening, and until next time when we talk about jobs on Job Talk, this is Dean Logan. Take care, everybody.
You have been listening to Job Talk with Dean Logan, a presentation of RadioSaintPete.com and Eagle Datagistics. Eagle Datagistics is one of the premier Oracle Gold partners on the East Coast, providing hardware and software sales, data recovery, DBA services, and recruiting. With more than 10 years in business, Eagle Datagistics in downtown St. Petersburg. Job Talk with Dean Logan came to you live from our studios inside Eagle Datagistics on the 10th floor of the Plaza Tower in downtown St. Petersburg. RadioSaintPete.com.